The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Ah, yes, it is I, and it is you, and it's 1 minute after 11 p.m. Eastern Time on the Eastern Seaboard of the United States, 8.01 p.m. on the Western Seaboard, 2 minutes, no, 1 minute. All right. Okay, so here's the, okay, it's 10 o'clock in Central, and I'm here, and I'm Jim Peters, and this is Jim Peters at Night. This is episode number 80. And this is our six-month anniversary, which was actually last Thursday, but we took the week off. Now, I got to explain to you, the reason I screwed up the time is because we had a new system going on here, and we tested it last Friday. We had a kind of an unannounced test show, which we did on Friday. First time we've done a Friday show, but we did it for a reason. So as of tonight, for the first time now, we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. And to do that, we have to start at exactly 11 o'clock Eastern. You know, it's like real radio. We have to start on the clock. Before, we started the five-minute countdown at 3 minutes to 11 and let it run to 2 minutes after in case, you know, you just kind of tuned in, you were a little early, a little late. Now we got to start at what we have to start at 11 o'clock. And not only that, I'm having a hard time getting the timing of all this too. So any rate, because, it's my problem, not yours. So, yeah. So the deal is we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. It's audio. That's audio only. The other seven platforms, there's a list on our website, jimandnight.com. I've said this many times. We only pay attention, really, to YouTube and Rumble, and I just assume YouTube's going to cancel sooner or later. But that said, the one really cool thing about this is that we now have a call-in telephone number. You can call America. We've changed the little thing at the bottom of the screen here. You see this? It's actually a little different. It's changed. You can still video call us. You can call us with your camera on your smartphone or your laptop or whatever. You go to jimandnight.com/call. You press the big button at the top of the screen, and you can call us with your camera. That still works. Now you can call us with your just by dialing in with your telephone. I assume you have a smartphone, and if you have a rotary phone, it's like, I don't know, why are you watching this? What are you watching this on, like a black and white TV? Yeah, because, yeah, I know I look like I'm about from 1958. I know that. So the call-in number is 563-999-3435. We tested it last Friday. We got three callers. Two of them are arranged for. I want to thank David from San Francisco. He actually did call in unannounced, so that was cool. So we tested the system. It worked great. You can still send us a text, and I'm still monitoring the texts in real time. 408-458-5088. Don't get the numbers confused. That's the text number. The audio, the number that says audio at the bottom of the screen in the middle, call-in number. Okay? Now, tonight, we don't have a guest. And so if you want to call in, please do. Fantastic time to do so. It's Monologue Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell you, we took a whole week off. It was very productive. I'm glad I did it. And so there's a lot of, course, now because of that, there's an enormous amount of news. And it's not just a weekend. We have a week of it. I hate to tell you this. We got to take tomorrow night off. And the reason is we had to do this a couple of weeks ago, too. So I think I've explained to you, I share the studio with another company, and I'm the minor renter. I'm the subletter. So if they need the studio, I have to vacate, and tomorrow night they do. So because of that, well, we have no show tomorrow. We were going to have Jeff Meyer on tomorrow night. He was scheduled. We're going to have him on the week from tomorrow night. That would be Wednesday the 14th, Valentine's Day, like love and shit, you know? Yeah, don't forget, you know, you got Got to buy your, and I know, who am I kidding? 90% of the people who watch this are men. I know that. So buy your significant other some gas station flowers or something, okay? Don't forget, all right? That's next Wednesday. Jeff Meyer's coming on next Wednesday. So we have no show tomorrow night. On Thursday night, Albert Rosales, and he was rescheduled because, matter of fact, I think he was the guy that we had to cancel the last time I had to abdicate the studio. I think, no. He had a medical emergency in his family. That's what it was. Yeah, so we've rescheduled him. Now, this is going to be really interesting. I've talked this up before. He's written 14 books on the subject of humanoid creatures. Now, we do a lot of UFO shit on this show. You know that. If you've never watched this before, yeah. What is this show about? It's about conservative politics, UFOs, Bigfoot, and whether I showered and washed my hair today or not. Because there's some guy that keeps texting me to tell me your hair looks dirty. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Okay. So anyway, so Albert writes these books. He's written 14 of them on humanoid creatures, which includes gray aliens and Bigfoot. But basically anything that's humanoid that right walks upright, basically. And that includes ghosts, weird shit, all sorts of stuff. He writes about it all. So his last book, he said, now we have to pin him down on this because I'm getting mixed messages now. The last time I talked to him, he said that his 14th book, which he does them chronologically, which is reports from 2010 to 2015, was going to be his last. But now I kind of reading on his website that he's thinking about doing another one. I don't know. You know, it's like people who do what we do, you know, they can't stop. I can't stop. You know, I mean, it's nice to, well, I shouldn't say that. I took a week off. I was doing work for the show, basically, which I'm not going to get into. But yeah, so a part of it was setting up this phone system. So, and all sorts of other stuff. So anyway, that's what we got going on here. Next Monday, February 12th, Tim Conaway is going to be our guest. He's running for president of the United States on the No Party, not No Labels, just No. That's his party. It's No Party. Got it? Okay. And we're going to talk to him. He comes on our month in review panel, on the debate panel, and he's a regular here. So we'll have a nice chat with him. And then, yeah, life goes on, and we'll plow through next week. So once again, we have guests already scheduled for most of the days this month. So I'm pretty happy about that too. So, okay. So what did we cover here? Yes. So anyway, if you want to listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, our channel page is blogtalkradio.com/Jim at Night. Okay. Now it's the exact same feed you're getting on the audio on YouTube and Rumble and Odyssey or wherever the hell else you are. I have no idea, but too many things. We're on Twitter, of course, X, you know. It's the same. Hello? Well, thought I had a problem there. It's the same handle everywhere, Jim at Night. And that's our website, too. JimAtNight.com is our website. But, like I said, the one cool thing is you now call in with your phone by dialing. And you don't have to put your face on the screen if you don't want, which means if you're in your car and you're listening at live, you can dial in. You can call in while you're driving. That's actually the coolest thing about this. That's the primary advantage other than you bozos or you trollers who don't want to put your face on the screen, which I'm starting to realize after doing this for 6 months is an increasing thing. I didn't think it would be that big a deal, but apparently it has. We learn as we go. You know, I mean, okay, if you're on Twitch right now, if you're on Twitch, yeah, I know. There's 100 people doing the same thing I'm doing. I know that. But no one's really doing it exactly the same way. And I don't mean the 100 people. I mean versus what I'm doing here. And I'm not trying to say I'm special in any case, although I am. but we've tried to put a little bit of professionalism into this whole thing. In terms of professional broadcasting, even though I do swear like a sailor, and we can, it's not illegal at all. No one's stopping us, you know. But still, I'm trying to make it more professional. And also, we were supposedly the very first talk show in America to let people call in with their camera. So we still got that going on. So we're just trying to make it easier for you to call in. I have a screen off to my side here that has the text messages and the callers that are coming in. So I've got to remember to check it every now and then. David called on Friday during our test show, and I don't think I noticed his call for 2 or 3 minutes. So, although once we got into it, I was kind of getting it. Okay. So, I got two pieces of news that just happened in the last couple hours. You know, it's what's the time? It's 11 Eastern time right now. In the last couple hours, two things happened. Ronna McDaniel said she's going to quit as head of the RNC. She's apparently, the New York Times posted that just a couple hours ago. And apparently she's talked to Trump. And it sounds like Trump kind of gently talked her into stepping down. That's an inference there. You know, so I don't know if that's actually true, but that was kind of sort of the idea I got reading this. And the other thing that happened also about 3 hours ago is the impeachment of Homeland Secretary Mayorkas failed by two votes. Four of the Republicans voted with all the Democrats, and they needed two of those votes I don't pretend to understand how this works. You know, maybe you know, but three of the Republicans voted against the bill. One, at the very last second, voted against the bill as a procedural move so that they could bring the bill up for a vote again. So they're not really counting him, even though he counted. It was 214 to 216. So technically, he did vote against the bill, but apparently he only did it so that they could revive the bill at a later date, and I don't know how that works, but apparently he got in just under the gavel. So, they needed the three Republicans voted against this thing or voted against the impeachment. I don't want to get this stuff confused, because the other vote that happened today is the Senate voted not to send the border bill to the House. And, of course, that's been a huge mess. And you know, Biden's gotten up in front of the public. He got on the horn today and was talking about how this is all the Republicans' fault. And, you know, okay, you know, the public is increasingly not fooled anymore. And, you know, I know, okay, I got a conservative bent here. You know, I do. And my liberal friends who watch this will tell you that I'm just a conservative bastard, but I don't think I'm that partisan, because if God knows if the, you know, okay. So, these three Republicans that voted against the impeachment of Mayorkas, here's my deal on this. We haven't talked about this much here, cause it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they kick him out. Whoever replaces him is going to do the exact same thing. He's not driving this. He isn't. As a matter of fact, I think he's running cover for the administration. And House Speaker Johnson said in an interview this weekend, which was really, really telling, he said Joe Biden is not calling the shots here. Implication is that somebody on his staff is, his general administrative staff, the Draft administration, is collectively calling the shots, and Biden isn't. And if you saw Biden speak today, this guy's falling apart. He can't talk anymore. I mean, at this point, I actually think and I don't want anybody to misinterpret this, because I don't want you to think that I'm wishing for this at all. You know, he's an 81-year-old man. He might not make it to the end of the election. I mean, this is getting really, really rough. He turned down the traditional Super Bowl interview before the Super Bowl, which literally could have only lasted 3 or 4 minutes, and they didn't have to do it live. They didn't. But still, he turned it down for the second year in a row, and the guy, it's pretty obvious he cannot string words together anymore. You know, I'm watching Bill O'Reilly. I like to watch Bill O'Reilly's show on the First TV every now and then. Bill says he's in the early stages of dementia. I'm sure Bill's way more connected than I am, but it sure does seem that way. It does. And then you look at even tapes from 2 years ago, and he is markedly deteriorated. Make it through a second term. Hell, I'm not even certain he's going to make it through the first term. I really am not. Now, so, okay, another thing happened today. Got way a lot of news. The appeals court in New York ruled that Donald Trump is not immune for prosecution for the January 6th or his election interference, support, whatever you want to call it. They ruled that because he's not president anymore, he's not immune to the prosecution. He would have been if he was president. And Trump has countered, well, if that's going to stand, no one will ever be able to do anything as a president ever. And he's right. That's true. I mean, for example, hypothetically, that means that the minute Joe Biden on January 21st, 2025, let's go to the assumption Joe Biden is not reelected, right? That means they could arrest him for dereliction of duty or treason, even just based on the stuff that's going on the border. And of course, let's say that he survives that. Doesn't matter. They're going to try him. It's like you can't. No president would ever be able to do anything without, you know, if it's going to be held over his head after the fact. It's going to paralyze the office, no matter who has it. It's absurd. So it was two Democrat appointed judges and one Republican, it was a unanimous decision. All three of them said this, and they're nuts. I don't know how else to put it. And you know, something else I've been thinking about lately too. So, you know, the jury, New York, and especially New York City, is notoriously liberal. Basically, Trump will not get a fair trial there, and he knows it. No matter what happens, it's going to be appealed because he basically knows that on the first try he's going to get convicted, right? All right, but I have another thing, too, I've been thinking about, and that is where was I reading this? On the New York Post, I think it was, the New York Post website. I was reading the comments regarding Trump surviving this test, this immunity test. I was reading the comments. There were like 300 or 400 of them. I didn't read them all. But I was reading, and it was plainly, I'm reading these comments, and many of these people simply, in my estimation, can't think straight. And I'm starting to wonder about the whole jury process in the entire United States. I think we have people now, a growing segment of the population, although I don't think it's a majority, not yet, I don't, but a growing segment of the population that literally can't reason correctly, you know? And I sat on the jury. I did jury duty. This is like maybe 4 years ago. But the interesting thing is, it was for a rape trial. It was very complex because it was statutory rape. The young woman said she did consent to the sex act, but still she was underage. So, but he said that the guy said it didn't happen. Now, all right, if you're asking me, do I believe him? No, I don't. But then again, there's a question of belief and whether the state, whether they proved their case. And I did not think they did, even though I thought he probably was guilty. So the difference especially is a criminal trial. So we all have to agree, and he could go to jail. So the bar is pretty high. For a civil trial, it's simply a preponderance of evidence. It's like, basically, do you believe that this happened? You know, okay, fine. You know, but this was different. It was a criminal trial. And I didn't think, but the amazing thing is, as soon as the jury was dismissed for sequestering, I find out, me and another guy found out, that we were the alternates. So I got dismissed. I never actually sat in the jury room. And I tried to find out what happened on that trial later. I didn't. I lost the paperwork and couldn't. I searched on the guy's name, but I couldn't find it. But whatever. So So my point is, you know, they instruct juries that when we're just sitting around waiting, we cannot talk about the case, and we didn't. But I still got the impression that the room was extremely divided. It was hard. It was very subtle, very subtle. But I thought there were people who thought this guy was guilty as hell, and then I thought there were people who thought like me that, you know, he probably did it, but they didn't prove it. So, I'm reading these comments, and it's so plainly obvious to me that these people, some people just can't reason correctly. And of course, the other thing is some people are so damn partisan too. They are. I mean, it's like they won't, you know, admit to anything that doesn't serve their partisan principles. Still, that's not the way justice in this country works. And the thing that, and especially, okay, so I'm kind of rambling here, but this is kind of important to me anyway. These three judges, I don't understand how they could reason this. Okay, they may say, you could say, right, that president can be held liable for something he did during office when he's out of office. Now, all right, let's use an example. Let's say you rape somebody while you're president. Well, that has nothing to do with your job. So even though you can't be tried while you're president, you should have no trouble getting tried afterwards, right? And especially if there's proof of this. But however, what we're talking about here had to do with his job. And from what I understand, the three justices did concede that it was, you know, that, you know, he was fighting for his political life, and that came under the jurisdiction of his job as president. But they're saying that once you're no longer president, then you could be, you're liable for that stuff. And like I said, problem is if you do this, if they set this as a precedent, all hell's going to break loose. And did that not occur to them? And they're thinking, they're thinking, well, that's not our job. We're just supposed to, you know, say, but no, kind of is, because that is an interpretation of the Constitution. You have to, the president has to be able to function correctly above and beyond other criteria. And I don't know. I just, it baffles me. It really does. This baffles me more than Trump being held liable for the stuff, which I think is complete utter bullshit. But still, I understand the case there. I don't understand this case. I don't understand why they would do this. So, you know, the president is not a normal person. There's already court precedent that the president cannot be, like, held liable for a crime while he's president because he has to do his job. So, I mean, that's been the case for many years. So, I don't know. Anyway, give me a call, 563-999-3435, or text me, 408-458-5088. So we got the border bill. Oh, okay. So, all right. There's another thing. I'm going to make some predictions tonight. I predicted this before, and it turns out I might be correct. I've said for quite a while now, going back well into last year, that I think that Trump will pick Tim Scott as his running mate. And he mentioned that today, or this weekend. He mentioned Scott was one of the two. He said Scott, apparently Tim Scott and Kristi Noem from South Dakota, the governor there, are the two leading candidates, apparently. And I said he's going to pick Scott because he needs somebody who has some attachment to Congress. And of all those people that were running for the nomination, Scott was the only person actively in Congress. There were a few of them former congressmen, you know, but he was the only one actually in Congress at this present time. And I thought that for that would be very helpful for Trump. And also, he's made some comments. It's true that Scott's been very supportive. And so I'm still standing by that. I mean, it looks like right now I got a 50-50 shot. But there's another thing that came up too, and that is, you know, talking about this thing about immunity and whether we're going to the assumption Trump's going to get the nomination. And maybe now I'm a Trump supporter because it simply results. Simple as that. I think he has the best shot of draining the swamp once he gets in, because now he's dealt with it already. How that said, though, all the polls seem to indicate that if Trump is actually convicted of any of these crimes, whether he ends up in jail right away or not is kind of beside the point. If he's convicted of any of these things they've railroaded him into, that about 12% of the people say they voted for him won't. And that would be the difference between him winning and losing the election. That would. And so, you know, we can sit here and talk about how evil the Democrats are about the fact they're trying to throw the leading contender for the nomination in jail. And yeah, that's all terrible. It's bullshit. It's complete utter crap. But the fact of the matter is it could work. So then the question is, and this, it's somebody, I think a guy named Isaac Shore wrote a column in the New York Post about this today, about the fact that, you know, maybe Haley's the last person standing or something. I don't know. I'm not a big Haley supporter. I know there's a lot of people say think she's an old guard Republican. She's a Romney Republican, and therefore she should be dismissed. And there's many people who are dismissing her, a majority right now, I think. But the question is, this is going to be really weird. And then the other thing is, my other reaction after that was, well, actually, if I was Trump, I would want to get these trials over quickly. It would bring some stability to the end of the campaign. You know, it's like you don't want to be convicted of a crime on like October 15th. You know, might as well have it happen in March, and then people just forget about it. But the thing about that, and you know, I'm really smart. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, oh wow, Jim, you know, you're just a really brainiac. And that is, he could get thrown in jail. I mean, that's a distinct possibility. So do you have can a guy run for president in jail? Well, technically, yes. But that's not going to fly with a lot of people. That isn't. I mean, this is just a whole weird thing. I mean, there is a possibility that Uncle Joe might, you know, be half alive and still be reelected. I mean, this could happen, you know? So the thing of the southern border, it's plainly there's people are saying, you know, that Mitch McConnell's like the rhino of rhinos for going along with this, and he is. So Langford, the Republican senator, he was the head negotiator for the Republicans, and he said, people don't understand this bill. They released it on a Sunday night, last Sunday night, you know, 2 days ago, and they released it, and basically, Speaker Johnson said it was actually worse than they thought it was, and it is. And it's exactly what people were talking about. Langford was completely full of shit. I don't know if he's lying or stupid. And that's the hardest thing to tell about these guys. It's really hard to tell whether they're lying or stupid. It really is. So my friend John Kerry is going to step down as the climate czar, and I've been trying to figure out, I've asked every person regarding the climate thing who's come on the show, is he lying or is he stupid, you know? And Mark Morano, the guy from Climate Depot, he said, well, Jim, that's a really interesting question. And yeah, it is. I don't know the answer to that. I don't. I think what Morano said, I think he might have a point here. I also thought about Al Gore, too, because he started this whole goddamn thing, you know, like almost 20 years ago. Does Gore actually believe this stuff? You know, first of all, you know, and I'm going to get, we'll get another flag on YouTube. I know we will. But I'll tell you this right now. There's no scientific basis for what they're calling climate change. Now, is the world warming up? Absolutely. I don't know a single scientist that disagrees with that. The world is warming up. But are humans causing it? They're either contributing in a very, very minor way or not at all. So the climate change part of it, that humans are causing climate change, is complete bullshit. And so 1,600 scientists signed a letter of declaration, what, it was in November, you know, saying the same thing I'm saying. Of course, the press just ignored it. You know, you didn't see any of that in the press anywhere. And I was reading an article where somebody brought that up, you know. But anyway, I've studied this very carefully. And Patrick Moore has been on the show. He's an actual climatologist. He explained as best as you can. That's our highest rated, most watched show so far, and you should go watch it if you want to learn about climate change. Because the thing is, it's not an easy subject. Now, he has a book called Catastrophes, what's it called? Something, Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. We have a link to it on our blog on our website. I highly recommend the book, but it's not an easy read. It isn't. He made it as simple as possible, and there aren't any mathematical formulas in it, but there's a lot of charts and graphs. And of course, you know, he's a brainiac, so he said, yeah, I tried to make it, you know, I think you've made this as simple as possible. He said, yeah, I wrote this book so the average person could read it, but no, I'll be honest, I don't know if the average person can understand it. I really don't. But at any rate, I figured it out, I understood it, and it was pretty clear, and yeah. There's nothing to this. It's the biggest freaking grift that they've ever foisted upon the American public. It's just a way to get them to get your money. That's all it is. Nothing's going on here. But I've asked, you know, I asked Morano, and I've asked Patrick Moore, you know, did Al Gore actually believe this, or is he just trying to pull one over on us? And the interesting thing is Morano had a really interesting answer. He said, He thinks that at the beginning, Al Gore did actually believe it, and that's my guess too. Is that and with well also, well, Kerry is such a stupid human being. He's so dense. I'm not certain he's ever gotten out of there. I think he still believes it. Al Gore is not that stupid, but he said I think at the beginning Gore believed it. Over time, he said I think they realized that it wasn't true. But it's a great scheme to keep on running, and I think that's probably true. So why did I bring that up? Because this whole thing's it's all screwed up. That's why. Because is Trump going to run for the presidency from jail? I don't know. I mean, I have to tell. I know 40% of the public will vote for this guy no matter what. But you know. It takes about 50% to win. Now there's another. I didn't put this in my notes. I just thought of this just now. There's another extenuating factor here too. Robert F. Kennedy. Kennedy's polling at 19% right now. When Ross Perot ran against both Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. in 1992, he got 19% of the vote. That's the most votes a third-party candidate has ever gotten for president in the United States ever in the history of the country. RFK is right now polling at 19%. I'm listening to O'Reilly on his newscast Friday night, and he's saying that he doesn't think he'll end up with that big a percentage, but he thinks he'll end up with 15%, and I do too. So if you end up with 15%, you're spoiling somebody's party. And it's probably going to be Biden's. So you could have a scenario where Biden, when none of the candidates get a majority of the vote. That's what happened in 92. Clinton won with 42% of the vote. He did not get more than 50% of the vote, which is interesting because when it came to his impeachment, he was not impeached. Not only did they not get two-thirds of the vote to impeach him, they didn't even get a majority. So there's that irony there. But Trump, you know, all this bullshit, Trump could win just because he will be the big, you know, the biggest loser. You know, at that point, you got three people, and none of them are going to get a majority. However, I have to tell you that you still have to get a majority of the electoral votes. So somebody has to get 270 electoral votes. If they don't, the election is tossed to the House of Representatives. And the top three electoral vote getters, not vote getters, popular vote getters, the top three electoral vote getters get to run for office. And the way that works, that means that Kennedy would have to win at least one state. He would have to have more than zero electoral votes. Now, I don't know about that happening. That's a tough nut to crack. There really is, you know, Because the thing is, well, you know, guys like him, his 15% would probably be spread all across the country. But I suppose, you know, but like it was it O'Reilly or somebody else? I think it was somebody else was pointing out the fact that, yeah, if he could manage that, if he could actually get one state, if he could win one state, then that would probably be enough, excuse me, to keep the other two guys from 270. The election goes to the House of Representatives, and the states vote, but it's really weird. They don't vote based on as individual members. Every state gets one vote. So their state caucus, or whatever you want to call that, you know, the representatives from every state have to agree on who the candidate they're going to vote for is. And they can vote for, so you can win the presidency with 34% of the vote. The math gets really complicated, and I can't do it in my head because I'm kind of stupid. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Okay, we got a call here. Hold on.
Hello. Hi, who's this? Hey, this is Naj. How you doing, man?
What's your name?
Naj.
Naj?
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
talk
interesting
to me.
You're trying to get into the minutia of, you know, all the tiebreakers and all the other stuff. But ultimately, what we're looking at is your girl Nikki has decided that not only are her donors stable and that she could roll this until Super Tuesday with the hope that something happens to him legally to where she can take over. And for some reason, she has enough donors who are staying in play with her to where that lets you know the likelihood of that happening is a possibility. Now, of course, there are some whale Democrats who are donating to Nikki Haley, you know, in a form of kind of interference. So that's going on too. But the fact that she's still around says something. And then dealing with just him, period, where we've got Republicans who have decided they're going to try to pull him off the ballot, which I don't think will be successful. But if they were successful, you just can't, like you just talked about the importance of electoral votes. Like you just can't just throw away electoral votes and say, okay, I'll win with one hand tied behind my back. Like that's not realistic in a voter turnout situation like we're talking about with Trump and Biden, where people aren't necessarily voting for who they like. They're voting for more for who they dislike more. So, yeah,
yes.
we're in a strange situation, my man.
Yeah, well put. Very well put. And you're absolutely right about her. You know, people are telling her she should get out. But on the other hand, she could end up being the last person standing. You know, I mean, this is really, really complicated.
Right. These aren't stupid people who are bankrolling her and telling her to stay in. Because, again, the goal is Super Tuesday. And, hey, legally, what can happen? That's what they're betting on. And
yeah,
ultimately, the Republican establishment, like the, you know, the people of means, have decided that everything that they can get accomplished with Trump in office, they can get accomplished with another Republican in office. So why take the risk of him? And that's why we've seen so many, you know, wealthy Republicans decide, you know, to cut bait on him.
I know. I'm a Trump fan, but I'm the same thing. If he can't win, he can't win. What's the point of doing it? You know, I don't know. Who are you supporting yourself personally?
Oh, I'm going to vote for some third party person who has no shot of winning. So from the Green Party, Cornel West or whoever, I'll vote for them. But, you know, ultimately, let me put it to you in these terms. If Nikki Haley or any generic Republican with the R behind their name can beat Biden, why would you invite the nightmare that is Trump that can drive Democrat turnout to actually win? That's where this gets kind of interesting.
That's right. That's right. I totally agree with you, and that's my exactly my point. And I'm a Trump supporter, and still, if he can't win, he can't win. What's the point? Right. You know, so I don't know. I don't know what you do. Where are you calling from, Naz?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. But then the other part is Biden, who is really dependent on young folk, this situation in Israel is going to destroy his, you know, Gen Y, Gen Z. It's going to destroy the turnout for the Dems in that part of the demographic, which he actually needs to push him over the edge.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile those two things where Biden is clearly vulnerable, but if you put out a guy with so much baggage, you actually put things up for, you know, it's a 50-50 chance at that point.
Well, I have two guys with baggage, and I don't know if you caught the top of the show about the fact that I don't know if you heard Biden today. He can't talk. I mean, the guy can't talk anymore. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, Naz, I got to ask you, are you watching or listening to the show here?
Oh, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
On
Blog Talk, yeah. Okay, cool. That's very cool. I want to thank you for calling a lot.
Yeah, no question. But
I got another call here, too, so thank you.
Well, can I ask you some questions? Can I ask you one question before I go?
Yeah.
If you're a fiscal conservative and a person who believes in conservative values, how did Trump become the champion of the things that he doesn't actually believe in nor will sign on legislation for? Right? That's the part about Trump that's kind of bewildering to the people on the outside, where it's like, there's fiscal conservatives out there who you guys could prop up and easily win. Why is this the guy?
So let me. I'm going to throw an answer out for you. This is my personal opinion, of course. So you know, he has always said that economics are his wheelhouse, and that really does seem to be true.
He really shouldn't say that.
What was that?
He really.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, he really shouldn't say that, but okay.
Yeah. Okay, but the thing is, I mean, you do have to, I mean, I don't know about you. I have to grant the fact that the first term he handled economics really well.
No. The stimulus situation was a problem. The COVID response was a problem. His tax bill, and I blame Mitch McConnell for that more than I do Trump, because I think they put that in front of him and made him sign it. Where working class people are now paying taxes when they used to get a refund because that bill was structured in a way to help the wealthiest Republicans and Democrats and not average working folk. Like, those are the things that kind of makes me look at him as a faux populist and not, you know, what he's represented as. So I don't think he's good on the economy either. I think he's a guy who on culture war stuff he can win on because most Americans agree with him on culture war stuff. But when it gets to economics and things that he doesn't understand, he completely concedes everything to his team, and his team is, you know, recycled Reaganites and Bush-era people. So it's same old trickle-down.
Well, I do agree with you, the fact that he didn't handle COVID well, you know. That's true. The last year, because of COVID, was pretty much bullshit. But the first three, I don't know. It's like, real wages among just average people was up 7%. The first time it happened in like 50 years.
Yeah, wages were up, but the cost of living was up so much more drastically that it kind of ate into whatever gains you made. And, you know, that still exists today because Biden or Trump didn't have enough backbone to talk to corporations and say, wait a minute, you guys are price gouging people. This is not because of supply chains or COVID. You're just charging people more because you can. And Biden or Trump, neither one did anything.
Nobody seems to have any cojones to face the corporations. I don't know why, but nobody does. You know, I'm not sitting here shilling for the Republicans. They're pretty freaking bad too. They are. I don't know what the deal is. You know, I keep looking for somebody who just will go to Washington and put in their time and do the right thing and then leave, you know, but nobody wants to do that. So I don't know.
Obama backed down during the housing crisis, where he allowed the mortgage companies and corporations and hedge funders to make a mint while leaving the, you know, homeowners in the lurch. And then Trump comes in right after him, and he supports the billionaires as well. Like, we've created a class of nobility in America.
Right.
In a place where that's supposedly why we threw those people pee in the water and changed everything. But here we are with a nobility
class. You have to forgive me. I got another caller here, and I want to get to this person.
No, go ahead and do your thing, brother. I just wanted to get my last
calling.
Word out.
Please call back.
Thank
okay.
You,
no. I love your big mouth. I love your big mouth. I'm not sticking my tongue in it, but I still love it.
Pause.
All right.
Yeah, pause.
Talk to you later.
But all right, man.
Bye. Oh, man. Okay. Hello? Who's this? A lot of breathing. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? All right. Okay. Want to talk to me or not? No, I guess not. Okay. Guess what? I can hang up on you. And I just did. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, Renaz, for calling there. Appreciate that. Nice conversation. The breathing guy, I was like, no, you can call back in. Breathe again. That's fine. Yeah. I can breathe. I can do that too. I'm going to run a commercial right now. We got our Klunk News sponsors this program. That's at klunk.com. And is this going to work? Holy shit. No, it isn't. I know that because the thing is, I know how this works now. There we go. Okay, that's the front page of Klunk News at klunk.com. It's updated every 3 hours. Now, Klunk News is a news aggregator. They don't actually write any real, well, they write a little bit, but not. They don't really write news themselves. That's not the point of this website. They gather news from 75 different sources and put them in chronological order, and then they change it every 3 hours. So this page changes 8 times a day. You can go there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you can go back at 3 in the afternoon. It's completely different. If you're a news junkie, this is crazy stuff. You'll love this. So if you can see here, and I keep forgetting, I got to remember, you can't see my cursor. But the middle article, and let me see, who actually did this? I think that's the New York Post. I'll be damned. Michelle Obama may have notified people on her White House ambitions I plan to run. On the left-hand column, you have Prince Harry should apologize to his father. That's from National Review. And I know that because of the tiny little logo in the bottom left corner. I'm not a big fan of National Review, I got to tell you. They just seem like they're just like intellectual wonks to me, but whatever. That's my personal opinion. But they're there, and that's the point here. There's 75 different news sources, and this page goes on forever. And you can't, it's fantastic. All the pictures are from the original articles, the articles that you link to. All the links, the headlines link directly to the articles, none of this interstitial advertising or any of that bullshit. And all the headlines are the actual headlines from the articles. They don't rewrite them. So it's fantastic. It's a fantastic news source. And seriously, if you like news, you should check this out. It's at conk.com, conk.com. Okay. I want to give... I'm going to talk about this for a second. This sounds like a stupid thing. All right, you can still call me up, 563-999-3435. CBS News, on I think it was Thursday night or last week, they ran a story about the fact that I can't remember what city this was in, that some small airplane had to land in the middle of a metropolitan area. And basically it crashed, controlled landing, I think, on a street. And I'm watching this, and I love Nora O'Donnell because she looks fabulous. And I'm thinking, why is this on the news? Now, it's not that it's not news. And this is the thing. This is not an either or thing. But the thing is, we live in an age now where people are everything is like so, supposed to be so black and white. It's bullshit. Life is not like that. So my point is, this is on the CBS Evening News. They have 22 minutes every night. They got to tell you shit, right? Nope. it does not matter to your life that this plane crashed in a metropolitan area. As a matter of fact, if I'm right, no one even got hurt, if I'm correct, if I remember this correctly. There were no, you know, so it was just, it was a point of interest. And it is a point of interest. But the thing is, if you only got 22 minutes to tell the news, why is this on there? I mean, shit, I got a list here. Now, okay, we, you know, we've been off for a week, but I got a list here. I talked for like over an hour about stuff that I think that I hope is important to your life. Like, you know, it was nice of NAS to call. We had a very nice discussion there about Trump's foibles and also his chances. But the thing is, I mean, that's important to you because you're going to have to go vote, right? There's a lot of stuff here. And, you know, I basically hate the mainstream media with a fucking unbridled passion. So why are they putting this on the news? And this is my complaint with the news in general, the mainstream media in general. They cover shit that has nothing to do with your life. Same with the Taylor Swift crap. It's crap. And the thing is, I'm not saying that that Taylor Swift is crap. It's the fact that it's on the news is crap. You know, okay, Taylor Swift, one of the richest women in America, dating a very famous football player. They're going to the Super Bowl. That's cool. Good for them. That's a story. Maybe deserves a five-second mention. I just mentioned it. Do I want to talk about it for 20 minutes? No, I don't. And no, does anybody want to listen to it? Well, if you're 15 years old, you do. I mean, this has also been my thing with Taylor Swift. I'll just tell you, I spent most of my career as a professional musician. This woman is extremely accomplished as a songwriter. It's kind of bullshit. I mean, she basically took her high school diaries and set them to music. The music's crap, you know. But can she entertain people? 60,000 free people in an arena? Yeah, she can. You know, is she beautiful? Yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like I can't fault her in any other way. But no, as a songwriter, no, I'm not a big fan. So, but that's kind of beside the point, too. It doesn't matter what I think, you know. So, all right, if you're 15 years old, I mean, God, it's like I know this is not a thing anymore, but Christ, get on Tiger Beat or something. Or I hate to say it, TikTok. Jesus Christ. Have you? So I just read today, talking about the mainstream media, that the majority of people under the age of 30 get their news from YouTube and TikTok. Got that? And there's people on TikTok called news anchors. And they are people who basically kind of do what I do. They're regurgitating the news, except they're 23 years old. They don't know shit. You know, so what, you know, are you going to pay attention to this? Well, like I said, if you're 17, you are. And so let's just write all those people off. As a matter of fact, you know, now I get crap about this. Even my wife gives me crap about this. I'm turned into an old curmudgeon, I'm bitching and moaning about all the younger people, you know, that, you know, they're every, you know, it's true. Every generation bitches about the generation that's coming up after them. Here's the problem, though. I have empirical proof. Test scores have been going down steadily for 30 years. It's a graph straight down, straight down. These kids don't know shit. They are not educated. Now, that's probably our fault. You know, that's the thing. That's the thing. I don't know if I can blame them. I think maybe I should blame us. When I mean us, I mean baby boomers. Baby boomers, the older generation. We have not done a good job here as parents. I am not a parent. So, but I admit it. I admit it. As a generation, we've sucked as parents, and now we have these pussified little children who, you know, need their safe spaces, and most importantly, didn't get educated. They are not educated, and so I'm talking about, you know, I was talking before about juries. Yet we are starting to lose the ability to think critically. Now, I do not think the majority of the public applies to this. And that's another thing too. Once again, it's not an all or nothing thing. It isn't, you know, where, I mean, I'm talking percentages here, but it does seem like we have a lot of kids that age, kids, let's say under 30, that can't think critically, which is also the reason they're very easily brainwashed. Frankly, they go to college, they got professors that are telling them capitalism is bad. And yeah, you know, the world would be much better if it was communist. And then I got friends telling me, you know, no, it's not, so we don't want socialism. We want democratic socialism. Like there's some difference, You know, none of this shit actually works. Hold on, excuse me. And the news media is going to hell. And when I mean going to hell, sales and readership of the mainstream media is way down. Example, Los Angeles Times is losing about $1 million a week. Washington Post lost $100 million last year. And then the real important thing is they lost 25% of their subscribers in 1 month. November of last year, they're going down the tubes. CNN is completely, is almost bankrupt right now at this point. They just announced the fact they're redoing their morning lineup. Like it matters. I mean, they don't have even a half a million people watching. And on cable television, I've said this before, anything under a million people is basically nothing. If you're under a million people, that's zero. That counts as zero. And they've been under a million people for like a year. At this point, I mean, even MSNBC is cleaning their clock. And MSNBC is not known for great ratings, but they are. So the mainstream media is really taking it on the chin. And people are starting to figure out that, frankly, they're being lied to. And they are. CNN is basically, we have so many of these reporters that are so leftist in their orientation, they can't even see the other point of view. They consider it illegitimate. You know, and because I guess Orange Man bad Trump, you know. But, you know, like I said, I have the time here not to simplify this. And Nass, the caller, our caller, he's absolutely right. The thing is, like I said, I'm a Trump supporter, but if Trump can't win, what's the point, you know? And then again, you throw third party into the mix, you know, maybe Trump can win. Maybe he can win from jail. I don't know. But on the other hand, like Nass said, why take the chance? You know, that's the other thing. I don't blame Nikki Haley for not getting out, especially because her home state's coming up. I mean, she should at least stay through that. I mean, nothing else. These are tough questions here. And the thing is, there's no one really to decide other than the voters. Well, and you got the RNC. But like I said at the very top of the show, 3 hours ago, they just announced that Ronna McDaniel's out of the RNC. I mean, as far as I can tell, she's been incompetent. That's as far as I can tell. And is that surprising in politics? And right now, what do we got? So we got nobody with any real accomplishment wants to run for office because the process is brutal. Your personal life is completely ruined. And then can you even accomplish anything if you win? Who knows? If you're a man of any, or a woman of any accomplishment at all, and you've done something else with your life, started a business, you've been a doctor, whatever it is, you know, you don't want to put up with a shit. I mean, Christ. So in America, politics has become the land of losers. Losers go into politics. As I've said there, I've said it straight out, you know. So, I don't know. And on top of that, then you got people like Mitch McConnell who, you know, I mean, Biden is not the only old person in Washington by a long shot. But Jesse Waters was talking about this today, about the fact that in the last 3 months of last year, Nancy Pelosi's stocks went up 85%. Geez, I wonder why. God, you know, like she's some brilliant investor, huh? No, because she knows what's going to happen ahead of time. That's why. And of course, that's technically illegal, but, you know, who can prove it? You know, so, yeah, there's a reason these people want to stay in Washington. They like the power. They like the money. You know, and I've said this about Joe. This is what happened to Joe Biden, too. You know, and it happens to almost every politician that stays in Washington over like 10 or 15 years. At some point, your income jumps dramatically in 1 year, and that's because you've gone on the payroll. It's like, you know, it's like Biden has four houses, and at least one of them is essentially a mansion. And where did he get that money? He hasn't had another job in 40 years. The only thing he's done is he's been in the Senate and he's been vice president and he's been president. And we can't even, we could even discount the president stuff. The one thing there, you know, they keep talking about the fact that he's run the Biden crime family. And that's true, except for one thing that's really, really important. No one's shown that any of this shit happened while he was actually president. I think that's really important. I think the guy's a doorknob. I do. It's like, and not only that, I mean, it's plainly obvious at this point that him and his family, while he was vice president, they were running a crime scheme. There's no doubt on my mind at this point. They already have enough evidence to have convicted him in a court of law. If he was just another Joe, pun intended. If he with his family. With the RICO laws, no, they'd all be in jail. They would. They've already got enough proof to do that. But like I said, none of the, as far as I can tell, I don't know if he had a talk with everybody or somebody did that. We're going to cut this shit out now because we have to, and they, I think they did. So I mean, Hunter's a lost cause, and he's selling art. You know, that's bullshit. This guy's just a despicable dish rag. I mean, he is, but I don't see any evidence. No one's brought any up that this has happened during his presidency. So, you know, I don't know if they can impeach, you know, they keep talking about that he's ripe for impeachment. I don't know if he is. I'll tell you what he's ripe for. He's ripe for criminal proceeding after he's president, and especially if this thing with Trump stands in court. I mean, this all comes full circle. It does. This is a crazy ruling. If you're going to hold shit against people for stuff they did while they were president or vice president, although the rules for vice presidents are different, but you know, at some point, no one's going to be able to do anything. Everybody's tied. Everybody's hands are going to be tied. I'm just freaking talking in the wind. Okay, so I got a hold on. Oh, God, I'm screwing this up. I'm screwing up everything. Okay, I got a part three here. This is the third block. I'll tell you what, I'm even going to run some bumper music. Okay. This is your last chance. You want to call me at 563-999-3435. Or you can still call in with your camera. You know, you can do that if you want. A little more. You gotta take your device to Geminite.com/call. Push the big blue button at the top of this page. That puts you in the camera view. Okay, so what do you got here? This is a part of the show where we're talking about non-political stuff and mostly stuff that I just find fascinating. And you know, if you've watched this before, you know I'm a UFO. I won't say enthusiast, but a believer. So, story number one, they think they might have found Amelia Earhart's plane. Now, I didn't know this. This is really interesting. There's this guy, and they were fishing. They were scanning the ocean floor, and they found the scan came up with something that looks like an airplane. And when I never heard this before. So Amelia Earhart took off, it was from California, and she flew west to east around the world. That was the idea. She was trying to become the first woman to fly around the world. And so the big part of that trip was the last part over the Pacific Ocean. Now she's in a prop plane. It's 1934. They don't have shit. So she couldn't make it on one tank of fuel that entire way. So she was going to stop in the middle of the ocean in a small island called Howland Island. It's just a speck, but there is an airstrip there. I think there still is, if I'm right. There was then, 1934. She's going to land the plane, refuel, and take off again. She never made it to Howland Island. But what I didn't know is that in the process of going from Indonesia or Japan or something, while starting that trip across the ocean, she was going over the international day line. And that, if you're their navigator, and her navigator was named Frank Noonan. So it was her and Frank on the plane together. Got that? First, you're the navigator. You have to make some adjustments once you go over the international airline to your plot. And there's the theory now is that he forgot to do that. And that put them 60 miles off course. And supposedly this plane is roughly in the ocean where it would be if she was 60 miles off course. Now, they haven't gone down there to look at it. So they're waiting until the summer. This summer, they're going to actually send a diving team or a drone down there to photograph it. But they're actually thinking that it might be that airplane. That'll be really interesting because there's people, there's the theory that's gone on for years that she was actually captured by the Japanese and tortured on another small island out there by Holland. And because there are people who say, there's people who say they both saw her and her airplane on that island. So it'll be, you know, so obviously if they find her plane in the ocean, that's bullshit. So that's really interesting to see what's going to happen there. Okay, so item number two, there's a pyramid. It's a small pyramid on the Giza Plateau in Egypt. It's called the Menkaure Pyramid. It's the smallest of the three of them. When that pyramid was originally built, it had, for lack of a better term, what would you call it? It had siding. These pyramids, you look at them now, they look like a big stack of blocks. But the pyramids, all three of the pyramids in Giza, had smooth stones covering them. As a matter of fact, the main pyramid of is it the Giza pyramid? Is that what they call it? Had granite stones, a facade that made it look completely smooth. It was it did not look like a stack of blocks. It looked like a real pyramid. Now, supposedly, this pyramid, the smallest of the three of them, they're actually going to put the siding back on it. They've been talking about this for years, and I guess the country of Egypt has decided they're going to do this. And they're going to, I think it's one because they have, that sounds really weird, but I think they have the plans to that pyramid or something like that, or some of them, or they know, in that instance, they know exactly how it was done. Oh, no, I know what it was. Some of that stone siding is still on it. That's at the bottom. That's the reason. So they know what it's supposed to be, how they put it on and how it's supposed to look. So they're going to do that. I don't know if that's worth the trouble. I've always wanted, the pyramids are basically the last thing on my bucket list. I still want to go see them. I don't know why. I just find that fascinating as hell. Okay, number three. NASA has discovered what they call a super Earth planet. A highly habitable planet. It's only 137 light years from Earth. Which means right now we will never get there ever. Here's another prediction. Okay, I've made two predictions tonight that Tim Scott will be the running mate. And hold on, what was the other one? God damn it, I can't remember. You can't even remember now. Shit. I am full of crap. But let's go with that one. Tim Scott's going to be the running mate. Here's my other prediction, that we'll be flying faster than the speed of light by the end of the century. There's a possibility, depending on how you parse the UFO information coming out of the government, that we already know that. Now, I know theoretically we already have that figured out. People don't know about science because the mainstream media won't report about science. Yeah, we know how to go faster than the speed of light. The thing is, it takes a ridiculous amount of energy. It would take way more electricity than all the electricity generated on Earth. But we do know how to do it. Now, this guy named Bob Lazar, I've talked about this before, he's the guy in 1989 who said he was working in Area 51, and there's a video on YouTube. If you search, use the search term Bob Lazar, Lazar, you'll see this. In 1992, he made a lecture video on how the propulsion system in these flying saucers, or at least the one he was working on, operated. And this is the general theory. So they used as a fuel element 115, which is now called muscovium. In 1989, muscovium element 115 didn't exist. We did not have it. And no one ever knew it was going to, but it was on the period, you know, that's where it would be on the periodic chart. It was element 115. And especially because the general rule is, as you go up the periodic chart of elements, elements become more and more unstable the more protons they have, or neutrons. I can't remember which one it is. It's protons, I think. So they become more and more unstable. He said that, and they had the element 115 from the spacecraft, and he said that the reason it worked is because it was an exception to that rule. It was stable, other than the stuff surrounding it on the chart. So the way it worked is that they took this element 115, and he said about the size of a stick of gum could run these things for about 10 years. And this is the reason why. They took the element 115, they bombarded it with electrons, and that turned it into element 116. And then they bombarded the element 116 with antimatter. And the thing is, antimatter, you basically only need like one single molecule or two molecules of antimatter to basically blow up the entire fucking universe. It's like, you want power? There, you got power. So he said they had this whole thing running in a piece of equipment about the size of a washing machine. And it was completely, utterly, that they could contain this reaction, which is, I mean, seriously, you could blow up the Earth with one of these things. I mean, it's like, but this machine, it contained this reaction, and it would turn the heat from that reaction into electricity that would then be turned into electromagnetic force. So because of that, they had the power to do it. That's what he said. I'm boring you people. I understand that. I don't really give a shit. I think you should know this. I do. So, so at any rate, you got one of these things, and then we know how to fly past faster than the speed of light. We know how to do that. And so, you're off to the races. So my prediction here is that before the end of the century, we will be flying faster than the speed of light. I actually think we'll be doing it before 2070. This has not gotten a lot of press, but I know this is public, that NASA is actually planning on running a test spacecraft to actually test this theory out. And of course, if they bust the speed of light, I mean, God, the whole thing blows open. I mean, it'll be even more important than Chuck Yeager busting the speed of sound. I mean, it's like, shit. Because the thing is, it's really weird. It's not, you know, according to Einstein, you can't go faster than the speed of light. First of all, Ben Rich, who ran the Skunk Works at Lockheed, he died, I think, in 1996, I think it was. He said they'd already figured it out. They'd already figured out how to do it. But the thing is, it's not really that Einstein was wrong, although supposedly there's quite a few people who said there is a mathematical error in the theory of relativity, so I don't know if that's true or not. But the thing is, it's kind of like it's a workaround, or it's a loophole in the law. It's not really that it violates the law. So anyway, I'm talking way too much about this because this shit fascinates me. But the thing is, this other Earth they found is 137 light years away, and someday we'll be able to go there. And I won't live to see it. Maybe if you're 12 and watching this, and I don't know why you are watching this, because you should be on TikTok or something. maybe you'll be able to get there, okay? All right, so item number four. Oh, this is the last thing. We're going to end with this tonight. This is a really serious thing here, but it's not going to sound serious at all. They're starting to think that picking your nose could cause Alzheimer's. I'm not joking. I'm not. They say that you pick your nose, you release a lot of pathogens inside your nose, and those pathogens get into your brain, and over a period of time that they could make the difference between you getting Alzheimer's and not. Got that? Pick your friends, but you can't pick your nose. Oh, I'm so stupid. What the hell? What are we doing? I'm just sitting here. It's like verbal masturbation. All right, hey, folks. Okay, we're going to end with that. So with that, I want to thank you for watching tonight. I really do. My goddamn light burned out. I want to thank Naz for calling. I really appreciate that. Nice conversation there. And you can call me back next time, too. The number's on the bottom of the screen. And you can still call with your camera. You know, we don't get a lot of those, but people do it. So, and you can send me a text, too. We got none of that tonight. No texts. None of that crap. So, now, normally we do a show on Wednesday. Normally we do a show on Monday. I have to be honest with you. If I'd known, like I said, we have to vacate the studio tomorrow. If I'd known that, we would have done a show on Monday. We took from Tuesday to Monday off, but I just found out this afternoon. So we're only going to do two shows this week. So we're off tomorrow, and Albert Rosales is here on Thursday. Jeff Meyer is going to be here tomorrow. He's going to be here next Wednesday on Valentine's Day. It'll be like love everywhere. So thank you, folks, for watching and listening. Naz says he was listening on Blog Talk Radio. Good for him. That's good. I want to thank you for everyone watching and all the love and all that sort of crap. I'm Jim Peters. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you wherever you are. We'll see you on Thursday. Take care.